This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Today's the first in a three-part series we're doing about fall getaways. So if you really want to embrace spooky season, even if you're a non-believer, some quick drives down some allegedly haunted roads to some purportedly haunted places, well, that's a fun way to go. Today on CityCast Las Vegas, we put these allegeds to the test with Tracy Barnthouse and Meg Mueller from Travel Nevada. They give us some spine-shivering stories about where to go find ghosts and the unexplained near Las Vegas. It's Tuesday, October 3rd. I'm David Figler, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. Tracy Barnthouse and Meg Mueller, welcome to CityCast Las Vegas.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks so much for having us.
We're going to go a little spooky, but I got to start this way. Where should folks in Las Vegas travel if they want to experience haunted Nevada, as big as that means? What's first on your list? Why don't we start with Tracy?
So the very first place on my list, and this is a little bit further away from Vegas, maybe a few hours north, is the town of Tonopah, which was a very much a prospecting town back in the day. And there is a very haunted property called the Mizpah Hotel in Tonopah, that if something was to happen to you in a hotel room, I feel like that is the place it would happen. And the fifth floor in particular is the most haunted of them all. Meg, have you had anything ever happen in the Mizpah when you've stayed there?
Okay. What happened?
What happened?
So Meg.
Well, we also have a co-worker who got some very spooky stuff on video a few years back.
On video.
So the co-worker was in the hallway filming, just going up and down the hallway because it's great old Victorian decor. It's really super cool.
Yeah. I've been in that space. Yeah, okay. It's wonderful. The reno was perfect.
Really gorgeous. Yeah. She was just panning the hallway. And there's just this really wicked shadow that starts going with, and there was nobody else there with her.
That's so creepy.
Yeah. So it's very strange. And I've been in that hallway before walking through. They're all fairly similar each floor. But every time I've been on the fifth floor in that hallway, it's just cold chills. And I'm not like looking for it. I'm not wishing for it. It's just, I've had some really funky feelings. Like, just uncomfortable, not dangerous, not scary, like, harmful, but just something's hanging out.
So what is the legend of the Mizpah that gives rise to this kind of stuff occurring in its four walls?
So back in the day, there was a lady of the night who welcomed guests to the hotel, and in a fit of rage, one of her lovers murdered her in the fifth floor. And so the lady in red is said to be the person who haunts the hotel. But she's not in it's not in a sinister way. There's whispers in the hallway. She's been known to leave pearls from her pearl necklace on people's pillows or just in the room. So nothing really.
Wait, people are getting free pearls at the Mizpah? Is that verified?
Mm-hmm, right.
I mean, right? That's worth the trip up from Vegas.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, treasure hunt.
Those are the stories. Yes. So they even have a lady in red room that you can stay in.
Pearl's not guaranteed, but yeah.
Yeah, no. People who've stayed in that room have also said that they have felt someone stroking their cheek while they're in bed. So again, nothing too scary, but somebody feeling like there was definitely a presence, a hand stroking their cheek. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right. Well, now I'm a little worried, but let's move on. Let's move on to location two. Okay. So Mizpah up in Tonopah, that's number one. What's number two, Tracy?
A a little less haunted, but is also attached to a ghost town is Good Springs Pioneer Saloon, which is just about 30 minutes south of Las Vegas proper.
No, I love that spot. It's possibly haunted?
Mm-hmm. It's possibly haunted, yes. Yes, indeed.
All right. Do tell.
So Pioneer Saloon, there, back in the day, the American West, the Wild Wild West, there are a lot of things that happened in the Pioneer Saloon, including people who got upset over card games and maybe, you know, shot another person. Those people are said to haunt the Pioneer Saloon. You could actually go to that bar and see the bullet holes still in the saloon proper, which is kind of crazy and interesting.
Huh. I need to pay more attention next time I'm out there.
In the wall.
In the wall, okay. Because for folks, it's a little south of Las Vegas.
Right.
And if you go to Seven Magic Mountains, which is a newer popular art destination, you definitely want to grab a beer over at the Pioneer. How old is the Pioneer Saloon, Tracy?
So the Pioneer Saloon opened in 19... It's the oldest bar in Southern Nevada. So it opened in 1913.
Yeah.
So it's pretty old. The oldest bar in Southern Nevada. Yep. And you'll probably recognize it if you've never been there. It's been in a lot of movie scenes, TV commercials, that sort of thing. So it's a very popular place, but haunted.
Huh. It's got a good funky vibe. Maybe I didn't realize part of that was the haunting of it all.
Yep.
All right. Third one on the list, Tracy.
Third one is a little more accessible, and it's a tour that you can take in Boulder City. There is the haunted ghost and UFO tour in Boulder City that you can learn all about the hauntings that happened to those who built Hoover Dam back in the day. So it's a really fun tour that you can go on and learn. It's about an hour long, and you can learn about the history of some of the haunted stuff around that area.
Yeah, a lot of workers gave their lives for that engineering marvel. I'm curious about that mashup, though, with UFOs. So ghosts on one hand, UFOs on the other, same tour. Break that down for me. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of paranormal activity as well as ghost hauntings in this area. So Nevada has extraterrestrial highway. Area 51 is just, you know, a little bit north of this of Vegas, a couple hours. So they've kind of combined the two because they have seen some paranormal activity outside of Boulder City as well. Because I believe Area 51 kind of skirts part of that north end of the city itself, too.
I was going to say, or so we've been told.
We'll never really know the parameters of Area 51. Yeah.
Yes, so we've been told.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Ghost towns being a special feature of the Nevada landscape, why do y'all think we have so many ghost towns in our state? Why are they still around?
Well, I'll jump in on this one. The current thought is that there's about 600 ghost towns versus 100 live towns in Nevada. And the reason so many of them happened is because of the mining situation in Nevada, the boom and the bust years, where somebody would go out, find a cache of gold or silver, 25,000 people would rush in and, you know, claim it or work it until it was all gone. And then boom, on they went to the next one. So these settlements sprung up. Some lasted a year, some lasted 5 years, some lasted longer. And then people took off and some have obviously stood the test of time and are still around today with, as we call them, living ghost towns, you know, with a handful of folks, always a saloon because, you know, it's Nevada. So that would be why there's so many.
Tell us about a few of your favorite ghost towns near Las Vegas and maybe even how they became ghost towns.
Okay. Probably one of the most popular ever is Rhyolite, which is just west of Beatty, down on 347. It sprung up at around 1904, 1905 maybe.
Oh, wow. That's the same time Las Vegas popped up.
I know. Las Vegas came up around 1905. Yeah, or it was 1905, when the town was incorporated, I guess.
Founded. It was founded at the land auction.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, in 1904, there was something called the Bullfrog Mining District. And like most of these boom and bust towns, it became like the largest town in the state for a short period of time. They probably had
Awesome.
About 10,000 residents. And it was one of those that overnight was just this huge, you know, huge boom and huge buildings, banks, massive train depot. And that building still exists. So what's been so cool about it is it only lasted about 5 years, the town itself, but there are some spectacular
Wow.
buildings still left. They're really tall, huge structures. If you stop in the Beatty Museum and Historical Society in downtown Beatty, they have a walking brochure you can pick up, so you can read about what the buildings were, how they were used back in the day, and that's incredibly cool. And it's nice that it's attached to the Goldwell Open Air Museum, which is another fun, funky stop. But yeah, Rhyolite's one of the biggest, one of the best that's closest to Vegas. It's just gorgeous.
You go out to Rhyolite, there's also like a cemetery nearby.
Yeah.
And that always makes a ghost town extra, extra creepy.
Absolutely. And extra, extra real. Because you look at the people
yeah,
who,
that's true.
You know, came and went there, and you'll see how much of our population at that time was an immigrant population. People coming mm-hmm. from all over Europe, the world, to try and make their fortune, as it were. So yeah, the ghost or the cemeteries of ghost towns, we're very careful about recommending those because we don't want anybody to desecrate anything there. You know, these are obviously very
oh, yes,
important places. But to go look at them and to see the headstones, and when you've got whole families and the children that didn't make it, that died very young.
Yeah, that's always heartbreaking
yeah.
when you see the age range that's like an 8-year-old.
Yeah,
or, yeah.
But it
horrible,
makes it very,
but...
very real. I mean, the buildings are one thing. It's mm-hmm. obvious. But when you start looking at people's names and yeah, the cemeteries are pretty cool.
So, okay, what's location number two on the ghost
yeah.
tour town of your faves, Meg?
This one's fun down there. St. Thomas, which is near Valley
oh, yeah.
of Fire in Lake Mead, you know, in quotes, in because this ghost town was submerged when Lake Mead was built back in 1938. It was completely underwater. So the last resident mm-hmm. supposedly stayed on his boat. He stayed on his house until the water was rising, climbed on a boat, set his house on fire and watched it burn. That was like,
oh, wow.
yeah, yeah.
That's a
no
that's
way.
A big twist on the Noah story.
Yeah, right. No, because he fought. Obviously, a lot of people in town did not want this to be submerged by the dam, but the greater good, as it were, won out.
Yeah.
But thanks to Nevada's wobbly,
drought.
wobbly water situation, St. Thomas has
yeah.
actually come back. Has made itself known a handful of times, like 6, 7, 8, 9 times it's come back over the years. So right now it's available to see, and it's a trip because you go down, you know, it's near Valley of Fire. And like I say, it's in what would have been the Overton Arm, and there's countless foundations down there. You can have seashells crunching under your feet because this used to be under the water, and just picturing the
right.
people that live there. I mean, again, it's a very odd ghost town for Nevada's ghost in our realm, because it wasn't just a boom and bust and there it is. It's like, no, we drowned this sucker and now you can go see
yeah,
it again.
Yeah, we wiped it off.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah we wiped it
yeah.
out. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I actually went there at a recent reveal, I guess, when it came back,
yeah.
which is also kind of like a really good ghost
yeah.
town trope. Is like it disappears
come
and then
back.
It comes back and it disappears.
That's pretty mm-hmm. cool.
But I made the mistake of going at the beginning of summer.
Yeah, don't do that.
And it was brutal.
Yeah.
It was
brutal. Yeah.
And so now is the time of year
Absolutely.
That if you have a chance to go to really any of these spots that we're talking about,
yeah.
because the fall is creeping in and it's a little cooler as you get a little north,
yeah.
You could do that kind of exploration. That's really
yes.
neat. Tracy, have you mm-hmm. been to Rhyolite or St. Thomas?
I've been to Rhyolite, yeah. It's probably Nevada's most photographed ghost town. It's great. Megan described it so,
yeah.
so beautifully. It's
yeah.
it's really something to be seen for sure. I take anybody who visits, I'm like, well, we're going to go drive, you know, down 95 and we're going to yeah. go to Rhyolite and check out the ghost town.
People don't believe you. They think they're taking you out there to go kill them or something. Because you turn that corner around Beatty and there's nothing, 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 nothing.
Yeah.
And then you turn the corner and you're like this weird
yeah.
pocket of old history and intrigue and a little of the spooky. I actually have a Rhyolite story where we were traveling at night coming down from another state, coming back to Vegas, and we stopped in and at nighttime, it takes on a whole different
mm-hmm.
feel.
Mm-hmm.
I can picture that. Yep.
And our radio in our car just popped on out of nowhere. We didn't turn it on. And it was playing some old-timey music.
What?
On the radio in our car. My sister was with me, so I have a witness. And we were looking like, what is this station? and we never found it again. We were fiddling for it. We thought we'd get better reception when we got back to Beatty and we'd figure out what that station was. But they were just playing kind of like big band music.
Okay.
I will get my sister on the phone to verify. I'm not making the story up. Maybe one more, Meg. Another good ghost town destination in southern Nevada.
This one's super fun. Nelson and the Tchatacup Mine, which is down near Searchlight. It's really only about 45 minutes off the strip, not too far. You go down 95 to 165. So the ghost town in Nelson, I mean, you're getting super close to what, Arizona, I guess, down there. But this place, you know, has been around since the 1700s, the mine, the Tchatacup Mine itself. Where there was, you know, there was some kerfuffles there with some of the Paiute. The town had...
Wait, really? Back to the 1700s?
Yeah, a little bit.
I didn't think
later
there were...
A little bit later than that. I mean, the first gold was discovered in that El Dorado Canyon area in around the 1700s.
Whoa. Okay.
But today, the Nelson area, the Nelson town is... And the Tchatacup mine, they're privately owned, but you can go visit and you can take tours of the mine itself, which is... spooky. It was very spooky to me because of the conditions that people are working in, which is why I think there's probably lingering spirits, because, you know, miners had it really rough back in the day, you know, trying to, you know, candlelight, blowing stuff up. Yeah.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff like
that. In the pre-industrial era, not an easy gig.
Yeah. So the ghost town has
not an easy gig now either.
No,
but yeah.
Definitely not. But, you know, when you're setting live animal, whatever, canaries in and all that kind of stuff. It was not a trade I would have been interested in. But today you can tour, there's cabins, there's a stamp mill, bunkhouse, miners' cabins, all this stuff. And you can take tours of that. You can take tours of the mine. There's great photographic experiences. And in fact, there are movie props that have been left in town. Kevin Costner did a movie called 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Yeah.
And there's a plane that was a movie prop. It isn't actually a crashed airplane, but it looks like a crashed airplane, and it's from that movie. It's still in town. So not only is it historical, but it's also just super fun, incredibly colorful. The people that own the town are super cool. Like I say, they give tours. So that's a really great one.
Yeah, that's the one that it throws me off a little bit. I'm just going to say this quick little piece is that, you know, there are like cool mines in Nevada that are controlled by the National Park Service. Mm-hmm. And you, of course, pay to go on the tours and they're really kind of cool. This is a private family, private company mm-hmm. that controls this town. And they do charge people to sort of walk around. They definitely charge people to take pictures.
Yes.
It's a very commercial. Do you think in any way that the commercialization of an old ghost town like that takes a little of the sheen off?
Well, you know, I'd throw that out there and say, what do you think of Virginia City in northern Nevada? These are towns that, they purchased 50 acres of the area, so they have a right to do with it what they want. And they have, you know, maintained it really well, added a few things, and they offer the tours. So they have a right to make a buck. Does it take the sheen off? I don't know. You know, it's commercialized, but it's still something that it's based on the experience of what happened so many years ago. Like if you went to the Tonopah Mining Park, that's an old mining park where you can just learn everything about how it was when that gold rush happened. So yeah, if you want to know about, I can also tell you about 10 million ghost towns that you'd have to drive, you know, a major high clearance vehicle to get to that nobody's around, and you'll find some really crazy stuff. So there's ghost town experiences for everyone. You know, if you want to get really down and dirty in this, climb in a Hummer, go off-road, or you can go to these that are a little bit more accessible, a little bit easier if you want to just wet your feet into what the ghost town experience in Nevada is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's maybe my hot tip for Nelson. I have been there. I don't like it as much as some of the other places. Probably that's just my own personal perspective. But Nelson's Landing is just down the road a little bit, which was an old like dock for Lake Mead, and it's been abandoned. It's super chill and beautiful up there, and you have
a great little vantage.
So yeah, that's the thing, right? It's like with all these like visits to the ghost towns, etc., you could really make something out of it above and beyond the spooky creepy.
Yes.
So you could go spooky creepy and then follow it up with some nice peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that you packed.
And it's cool too sometimes. I mean, I go different ways where I'll go knowing everything I can about the place. And then I'll go mm-hmm. to others where I know nothing and then discover it afterwards and go, wow, that was that building I saw. That's what I picked up. So it's all just about the discovery of what came before. And we have so many things to offer in that respect. It's crazy. So again, you can find a Nelson, which is, as you say, a little more commercialized, a little more, you know, manicured or managed, I suppose. Or again, if you ever want to hit me up, I can give you ghost towns for days that are a little bit more rugged to get to. Delamar being one of my favorites that's in that area.
She's not kidding.
Yeah.
She
knows
them all.
She's got the list, the super list.
She does.
Well, I mean, that's the thing too, right? It's like the history is interesting, but you throw chills and thrills on top of it. You throw enough spooky into the mix. You get people who love to make those travels. And I don't know, what do you think it is? Tracy, what do you think the appeal of getting spooked by ghosts or paranormal activity really is all about?
Gosh, that's a really good question. People just like that. Some people do, some people don't. But I think like we were talking about earlier, I think you have to be open to it, right? I've always heard if you're not open to it happening, it's not going to happen to you. So I think, you know, the people that are, you know, open to having those experiences and feeling that feeling of the unknown will go and seek out these places and hopefully get the experience that they're hoping for. There's been a lot about transformational travel and traveling to places that make you feel something. And some people want to feel haunted, I guess. I don't know.
Push the edge of what's real and what's surreal.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think people are looking for some evidence that maybe you don't just become, you know, dirt food or worm food after the fact, that there might be some existence and some soul left over, some way to continue existing. So that's kind of a lofty view of it.
That's a good point.
As long as, you know, have the ground rule, be open to it.
Yeah.
Be open to it. Lots of great destinations all over Nevada, especially down here in Southern Nevada.
Yep.
And Meg, Tracy, I really appreciate you sharing some of the good tips with us. And hopefully people will take advantage of what they're calling spooky season.
Spooky
go check
season.
It out.
Yeah.
Thank you both so much for joining us on CityCast Las Vegas.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting us be here. It's great.
Thank you so much.
That's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to check out our newsletter for more fall getaway ideas and tips. Then go tell a friend who loves a good haunt. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Till then, stay lucky. I remember a saloon, it's not there anymore, in Goldfield, which was called the Mozart.
Oh.
And it was spelled like Mozart, but they called it Mozart because Nevada.
Right.
And there was this great mural on the side of the building that had a skeleton holding a drink. And then the verbiage was, he drank water.
Oh, Lord.
Implying that had he drunk whiskey, he'd still be alive today. So,
which is actually probably true back in the
day.
Wise
words.
I mean, that was true because the water was such bad quality. People did drink beer and whiskey and other things instead of that because it was all distilled, you know?
Yeah.